Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
All right, so I want to shout out Price Carter because he is the one that got my mind working in this direction. Shout out to him and the fine people over at Arrowhead Attic. So you guys might remember the last time that the Chiefs and Broncos played each other in a game that really mattered. I'm not talking about that game at the end of the season in which nobody played. I'm talking about the last game that really mattered between these two teams. Kansas City was 9-0. The Broncos were 5-5. The Chiefs won that game 16-14. And the Broncos had a special teams mishap at the end of the game. Let me go through some of the perspectives. Now, Rob, in this game, the Chiefs ran the ball 19 times for 57 yards. And guess who didn't play? No Isaiah Pacheco. You know what? The more things change, the more they stay the same. In fact, that's what we expect to be the case this Sunday when these two teams play each other. Kareem Hunt had 14 carries for 35 yards. Mahomes ran it a little bit. Carson Steele, remember him? Carson Steele got a couple of carries in this game. He did not do well with the couple of carries that he got. But that's not what I want to tell you about when it comes to the changes. Rob, did you know that Kareem Hunt was their leading receiver that day? He had 65 yards. Did you know that their number one receiver was DeAndre Hopkins? Xavier Worthy just had one catch for 11 yards. So the last time that the Broncos played the Chiefs in a game that really mattered, they had a completely different wide receiver, number one. And they didn't have Rashee Rice, and Xavier Worthy, I would say, hadn't really started to take the turn in his career. I'll take you one step further when looking at this. Do you know who the Chiefs' left tackle was that day? The Chiefs' left tackle in that game was Wanye Morris. Wanye Morris started the game at left tackle. He then got injured, and then Kingsley Suamataia came in at left tackle to replace him. So think about how many different versions of the Chiefs offensive line that we've seen since the last time that these two teams have played each other. That was like, what, I don't know, version 2.4? This is a completely new and improved Chiefs offensive line. In this game, Nazi Johnson started at corner. Jamari Connor was the full-time slot corner. Justin Watson, Mecole Hardman, and DeAndre Hopkins were all very valuable members of this offense and all had catches in this game. The Chiefs are a radically different bunch and have turned themselves around. For as much as we talk about how constant the Chiefs have been, The fact that the Chiefs are healthy coming into this game and have their full complement of weapons coming into this game, that was not the case the last time that these two teams played each other, which was basically a year ago. This game that we're talking about was on November 10th last year. These two teams are going to play each other, what, on November 16th this year. So we're talking about in just the course of a year, completely different pass-catching options, completely different offensive lines since the last time that these two teams have played each other.
It is really staggering, startling, any word you want to say to hear just how wildly different the Chiefs are. Now, you're right. The running back room is the same, but that's a different story for a different day. I think, and I'm probably part of the problem here, I think there are people who look back at that Chiefs and Broncos game and think, last year's Chiefs team was similar to this year's Chiefs team. Last year's Broncos was similar to this year's Broncos team. The Chiefs in the one game they played that really counted barely escaped. It was at Arrowhead. Now this game is going to be on the road at Mile High or Empower or whatever they're calling it nowadays. And I think I am wildly incorrect because the Chiefs left tackle, light years better. The Chiefs receiving group, light years better. Like, you presume that Pat Surtain is not going to play, so the Broncos defense, or at least their secondary, is going to be slightly worse. Like, everything was pushing against the Chiefs last year, and they still got the miracle win. That's not the same team the Broncos are going to face on Sunday. So maybe shame on me for not really delving into those numbers, because I had fallen victim to, well, last year the Broncos and Chiefs looked similar and they played a close game. Upon review, they do not look similar at all. At least the Chiefs don't look similar at all.
No, and that's why, at least for me, when you and I were talking about the Broncos defense, and the Broncos defense, I think, is one of the best defenses in the National Football League. You can maybe argue that they're the best. I got to see them go up against an offense I think as talented as this one. They did well against the Dallas Cowboys earlier in the season. But we're talking about a team in Kansas City with a better quarterback. We're talking about a team in Kansas City that we believe heading into this game is going to have a fully healthy offensive line and is also going to have their full complement of weapons. We have not seen Patrick Mahomes go up against the Broncos defense with all of those things. So the same way that you and I think that this is a measuring test for the Broncos defense, man, it's a measuring test for the Chiefs offense as well. You being considered elite is not how you show it against the Commanders and the Raiders. You showing that you are the best offense in the league and an elite offense, you now get a chance to go up against the best. Iron sharpens iron. So the same questions that I have about Broncos defense and how they're going to perform against one of those top flight offenses, you got to ask that same question about Kansas City's offense and how they're going to go up against a defense that can get after the quarterback the way that the Broncos can and has shown an incredible pass rush.
And that's kind of the point I was making yesterday. May I phrased it poorly about that I want to see the Chiefs offense be elite against an elite defense. It's a little bit of prove it to me for the Chiefs offense too, because the top texts are now on the text line, 913-586-7965, is this year's team is astronomically better than last year's team. I feel that way about the Chiefs too. I do think this year's team is better than last year's team. The record doesn't show that though. And at a certain point, and we talked about this with James Palmer, and we'll talk to him in about an hour, you are what your record says you are. I think this year's team is better. I think this year's team is more talented. I think based on the lineup you just read, this team is rolling out there with their A, maybe their B-plus group, depending on all the stuff against in the Broncos. They were not doing that last season. Like, I want them to prove it, though. I want them to, you know, go put up a big offense performance against a good defensive team. I want Rashee Rice to go and ball out against a good defensive team. I want Patrick Mahomes to have one of those vintage watch me work kind of games, like against a good defense. It's great on paper, but I gotta see it first. This is a measuring stick game, in my opinion, for the Chiefs, because you're right. It was the C-plus roster last year that barely beat the Broncos, but that barely beating the Broncos seems to have inspired a Broncos bunch to think they are on the same level as you going into this game.
I just have a very random question/thought, and I don't really know the answer to it. Why do you think that some stadiums have been fine at their ability to kind of market the sponsor and other ones haven't? Let me explain. Rob, do you know what the Broncos stadium is called?
I mean, Invesco? Is it? I know it has a corporate name.
It is Empower Field at Mile High.
So close.
What does everybody call it?
Mile High.
It's Mile High Stadium.
Yep.
Like if I told you, oh man, the Chiefs are going to play at Empower Field, you'd be like, what? Where is that at? I thought they were in Denver. Oh, yeah, they are in Denver. Maybe the title sponsor is only a thing for the locals. Like GEHA Field. Let me tell you that nobody outside the 816-913-785 ever refers to where the Chiefs play as GEHA Field. Nobody. You might even see it on the television broadcast. You still, that's Arrowhead. But they're not stadiums. I mean, you and I both know where the Lions play. They play in Ford Field. Like, you don't just call it, oh, that's Detroit Stadium. Where do the Chargers play? Where do the Rams play? They play in SoFi. Where do the Raiders play? They play in Allegiant Stadium. Maybe it's because they're new. They just got built, so we just don't know it by any other name. But I can't imagine paying all that money to be a corporate sponsor for a stadium and no one calls it by its name. No one refers to it. The Ford people, they're getting their money off of it being off the corporate sponsor. Empower, they can't be getting their money off calling it that because no one refers to it as that. It's Mile High Stadium.
I will say one small caveat about the Lions Stadium. I think the Ford family owns the team, so it's a little bit different.
I mean, we can think of a lot. I mean, maybe
MetLife. If I said MetLife Stadium, you know exactly where I'm thinking
of.
Yeah,
for sure.
No one call. I mean, maybe the locals call it the Meadowlands still, but I don't know.
I mean, there's so many of them. You know, you think of Pittsburgh, you think of the Steelers, you think of the Patriots with Gillette Stadium. Like, mm-hmm. There are some corporate sponsors, Staples Center. They've done a really good job of the branding, and you see it synonymous where. You probably, a lot of people probably know this, but like, it is no longer called the Staples Center anymore, but that's what it is. We will always call it the Staples Center.
Isn't it some Bitcoin?
It's like crypto.com arena now. I'm not calling it that nonsense. That place is the Staples Center. You know what I will never refer to their stadium as? Empower Field. Absolutely not. I don't even think the locals call it that. What a silly name for a stadium. Coming up on the other side, we're going to head to Denver, Colorado to be joined by a friend of the show, Josh Dover. We'll get his perspective as we get you ready for Chiefs and Broncos. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor, ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by one of our favorite people to catch up with, friend of the show, Josh Dover. He is with Denver Sports 104.3. Getting you ready for one of the biggest games that the Broncos have had in quite some time. Josh, how you doing today, my man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm always fired up when I get to come talk a little Broncos and Chiefs with Carrington.
Absolutely, man. Let's just start with this. We were just talking about this before you got on here. We asked people if they know the name of the Broncos stadium, and no one knew what the official sponsor was. Do any of you call it Empower Field at Mile High?
Absolutely not. There's been like 8 name changes, it feels like, in the last 10 years. It's still Mile High, and it will always be Mile High. So, you know, when you're on the radio and you get told to say certain things, then yeah, I'll call it Empower Field when I'm told. But when I'm talking to my bros and I'm hanging out with Broncos fans at the bar, yeah, it's Mile High, and it'll always be Mile High.
So let's just start with this. Do you believe the Broncos are as good as the record is? Because you and I have talked about this on the air. We've talked about it off the air. I went from a place of not believing in the Broncos, and then I switched to believing in the Broncos, and then I watched Thursday Night Football last week, and I officially got off of that train. I cannot do it with the Broncos.
Well, welcome to life as a Denver Bronco fan, C-Doc, because that's what it's been out here too, man. It's 1 week, they're the best, and Bo Nix is the savior. The next week, they can't figure it out. Bo's a bust, and Sean Payton's, you know, washed. The time has passed him at this point. And I've gone back and forth as well. But to your question of are they as good as the 8-2 record, no. You can't say yes. And if anybody does say yes, I think they're homers. And I'm not going to be that guy. They're not that good. This offense struggles, man. They're stagnant at times. Sean Payton does no favors to his young quarterback. Bo has to be better for sure, but Sean just throwing stuff in multiple personnel packages, confusing guys more than he's helping guys. Sean's trying to be the smartest coach in the league, and he's confusing the heck out of his own team. So Bo's feet are absolutely terrible right now. Sean's play calling and game plans, I don't think, are favorable for a quarterback that's struggling with his feet. And now, I'm sure you guys know, it's about the worst-kept secret in the NFL. They don't want to make a decision or an announcement on J.K. Dobbins, but he's not playing, man. And he's been the identity of this offense. He's been the best offensive player for the Broncos, and now in the biggest game for the Broncos in a long time, he's not going to be available.
You alluded to it a little bit. Let's dive a little bit deeper. I thought Bo Nix had a very, very strong rookie season, a season that I was not expecting, where it just exceeded my expectations. He has certainly regressed this year, and I think he's been the biggest problem that the Broncos have had so far this season. You watch them a lot more closely than I do. What's been up with him? Why has he played so poorly? Why has he not taken the step forward that I imagine many Broncos fans expected him to?
Yeah, well, I thought he would take a jump this year, and it's the official sophomore slump season for Bo Nix. It's all his feet, and I think there is a problem. I was hard on blaming everything on Sean up until about that Houston game where Bo just has not got better. He's looked the same for about the last 10 weeks, and he's talked it up to, hey, he's trying to not make a mistake, and anytime you're working to not make a mistake, guess what's on deck? You're about to make a mistake. And some of that goes back to the pressure being put on him by Sean Payton. But man, I don't know what's changed in this kid's mind. Of Sean always tells us in the media, we're so good at not taking sacks. It's so hard to teach quarterbacks how not to take a sack. He's already got that in the bag. But then I think that's like Bo's personal identity is, hey, I'm the quarterback that doesn't take sacks, and then that becomes a priority rather than letting that third route develop and get to your third progression and stand in the pocket knowing damn well you're going to take a lick, but you're going to deliver a dime and move the chains. He's gotten away from that, and I chalk it up to wanting to be the perfect player or perfect specimen for his coach. And he can't be that. No quarterback's ever going to be that. So mostly his feet and trying to impress Sean over and over and over has led to Bo Nix not looking even close to what he did last year.
What's been the hype been like in Denver? Because here, at least this has been my take on things, I think there are two doors right now for Kansas City. One door is things stay the same. Kansas City continues to be the best team in the AFC. They continue to run the AFC West. Nothing really changes, I think, with how Chiefs fans feel. if the Chiefs lose this game and they're 5-5 in week 11 and they're not going to win the division, for the first time in the Patrick Mahomes era, you got to discuss them as a wild card team. You got to discuss them as a team that you hope to get hot in the second half of the season and you don't want to play them once it gets to the playoff. That's just never really how we viewed Kansas City during Patrick Mahomes' time. I'm curious how Broncos fans feel. How do they view this game heading into one of the most important home games they've had in the last decade?
Now, that's a great question because it's a pretty solid split, which makes for fun sports talk stuff, especially when you're getting, you know, texts and stuff from fans. Because there's a group that goes, hey, they're 8-2, and you guys complain so much, and you don't believe in what it is, and they think they're going to go roll against the Kansas City Chiefs because it's a down year for Mahomes and all the things that are said. I don't look at it that way, Garrington. I still respect the heck out of who the Kansas City Chiefs are. I respect the hell out of what Andy Reid's able to do post bye weeks with that record. So I look at them as still the team to beat. Now, it's a giant opportunity, and it's a statement game for the Broncos. That's what I look at this as. Just like you said, hey, does anybody really believe in who Bo Nix and the Broncos are? I think the answer for most is no right now. But you go and win against Kansas City, even if it's, you know, being at your own barn, make a little bit of a statement saying, no, we are real. We're here. We can contend with the top dog that is the Kansas City Chiefs. Then I think you start to create a little bit more that path that you're talking about where KC finally doesn't win an AFC West. Maybe it comes down to a Chargers-Broncos game in Week 18. But for the Broncos, I think this is, hey, you get a chance to make a statement. You win, people believe. You lose, oh, you're that cute little team that can't once again. And on the Chiefs side, like I said, I respect the hell out of what they're doing. I'm not writing them off by any means. As long as Andy Reid's calling plays and Patrick Mahomes is throwing footballs, probably won't write the Chiefs off.
Right now, we're talking to Josh Dover of Denver Sports 104.3, one of our favorite Broncos guests. The analogy that I made is this is old money against new money. The AFC has been dominated by three teams for the last handful of seasons. It's been Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo. It feels like the hierarchy is changing right before our eyes. And you got Denver, Indianapolis, New England. You have teams that are challenging for that kind of moment. I remember when the Chiefs were this team, and New England was that squad. The Chiefs had to go on the road on Sunday Night Football and prove to everybody that they could beat New England. Not that this game means that it's over for Kansas City, but if you're a Broncos team and you want to let the rest of the league know, hey, we can win the Super Bowl, you got to take care of home field advantage against Kansas City.
Yeah, and look, I don't know that that's going to be the case. I think what the defense can do to Bo Nix is going to make for a hard day. And the Broncos, what the face of their team is now that J.K. Dobbins is going to play is Vance Joseph. PS2 is not going to be there. They have a great interior defensive line. Can you keep Patrick Mahomes in check and not let those like slip-away sacks turn into 40-yard gains for the Kansas City Chiefs? I still think this is a game that the Chiefs can come in here and win. I do not believe that the Broncos they're not favored or should be favored in this football game. The Broncos are without Alex Singleton, a weird story I'm sure you heard of, like the drug test that led to testicular cancer, and now he's dealing with that. But when Singleton was on the field, they couldn't cover tight ends. And now you're going to go to Justin Strnad, who's a little bit better in coverage, but still not great with tight ends and running backs. I would assume, with 2 weeks to plan for it, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have something for the Broncos' inside linebacking group. And if the Chiefs are having some success moving the football, well, can the Broncos' offense match what they're going to do offensively? Not with the eye-bleeding, boring offense that it's been the last couple of weeks.
Right now, we're talking to Josh Dover here going over the Denver Broncos. Interesting you bring that up. This was a topic that we had on the show. Do you think that the spread is more indicative of the public in Vegas respect for the Kansas City Chiefs, or do you think it's more indicative of how they feel about the Broncos, especially after Thursday Night Football and that 10-7 disaster against the Raiders?
I actually think it's a lot more about the Broncos. As you said, I mean, the Chiefs are just a game over 500. They've had some big wins, and then they've had some close losses, but there's that, hey, what's missing in Kansas City conversation still, I think, happening around the rest of the country. I think it's more what the Broncos are. I mean, what do we got? Thursday Night Football, Monday Night Football, man. Give me my time back. Goodell owes me some money on that. I mean, it's terrible football from both of those products. So I think it's a ton to do with the Broncos because you saw it, man. And that's not just a one-off, C-Dot. Every week outside of like the Cowboys game, and we know what the Cowboys are, a bunch of chumps on defense that can't cover anybody. They can't score. They can't score. They pull something out of a hat in the fourth quarter and figure something out. That's not sustainable. Eventually, that clock's going to strike midnight, and then Bo and the Broncos would turn back into a pumpkin. I would imagine that's why that number looks like that. And I bet it gets higher as we get closer to game time because of how bad the Broncos offense is.
Josh, let's talk about this defensive line. To me, if the Broncos win this game, they win this game because their front four absolutely wreaks havoc in this game. How good do you think that front four is? How good do you think this defense is? Because all of the numbers would suggest that they maybe have the best defense in the National Football League, but I also haven't seen them go up against a whole lot of high-powered offenses. Certainly not a lot ones like the one I think they're going to go up against on Sunday with Kansas City.
No, you're right about that. It hasn't been a Patrick Mahomes type of quarterback that they're going to face, but I don't think there's an argument. The numbers prove that story. My eyes, I believe what I'm watching. That front four, Nick Benito, Jonathan Cooper. Cooper's gotten better as a pass rusher. Benito's gotten better as a run stuffer, and it was something that both of those guys lacked a year ago. And then Zach Allen gets paid and is not getting, fat and happy about his paycheck, still out there grinding. John Franklin Myers needs to put something on tape so he can go get paid at the end of this year when his contract's up. And then you got a guy like Dondre Tillman, who's a pass rusher for depth, who's really damn good, had an interception a week ago. Jonah Ellis is dealing with a hamstring injury, and I'm not sure he's going to play, but he's another depth piece that can come in and pass rush. You have Malcolm Roach. You have DJ Jones as depth pieces at the interior line. I think you're 100% right that this game will go by what they do. Can you get Patrick Mahomes to feel a little bit uncomfortable, maybe perhaps make a mistake with a bunch of big bodies around his legs and ankles and take advantage of that? Because I think the defense is the best in the league, and as bad as this offense is, this is how bad it's got. Carrington is like, if the Broncos are going to win this week, the defense might need to score. And it's like, what kind of freaking key to the game is that your defense has to put points on the board because your offense is so bad? So if the Broncos are going to have a fighter's chance, I think they have to force a turnover against the Chiefs this weekend.
Josh, I'm picking the Chiefs to win this game because I trust the Chiefs offense more than I trust Denver. I think the defenses are going to neutralize themselves basically for the most part. I think Kansas City has a good defense. I think the Broncos have a good defense. I trust Kansas City's offense more to score against Denver than I trust Denver to score against Kansas City. To me, this feels like a 27-17 Chiefs win. I think it's I'm looking at this as the king stay the king. And I think when you give the Chiefs 2 weeks and they know the importance of this, I think you see the Chiefs flex their muscle and try to remind everybody that the AFC still runs through us. What is your Chiefs win-if scenario? What is your Broncos win-if scenario for Sunday?
So Chiefs win if that defense is as good as you believe it is. I don't. I'll disagree with you on that one. I think the defense for the Broncos is a lot better than that of the Kansas City Chiefs. So if the Chiefs defense is as good as you say and the Broncos offense doesn't get anything going until the second half, this could get ugly and it could be bad for the Denver Broncos. So that's how the Chiefs get it done. The Broncos win if R.J. Harvey has a game. I think a lot's going to come to a rookie, man, and that's scary to think about as well because J.K. Dobbins isn't going to play. Will Sean Payton give the same grace and trust that he was given to J.K. Dobbins to a rookie in R.J. Harvey? Because if they abandon the run and you just have to rely upon Bo and then you start blitzing Bo and realize, he rolls to his right and throws to his right every time you bring pressure to him, it's going to be a long day. So if R.J. Harvey can get going and earn the trust of his head coach early, because they're going to have to give him the ball 16, 17 times if they want to win and keep Mahomes off the field, R.J. Harvey will be the key for the Broncos. And I think they're going to get it done this week, Carrington. It's at home. It's at Mile High Stadium. Get the Chiefs trip on Christmas night. Give me the Broncos. Getting the dub this Sunday. I'm going 24-17, Denver.
That is Josh Dover joining us on the show. He's with Denver Sports 104.3. Josh, man, it's always great to have you on the show. I'll be on your show tomorrow, and I can't wait to play the villain to get all the Broncos fans riled up tomorrow.
You know what? We're looking forward to it. Love that you do that. And I always tell you, man, we talk a ton of football, but I know you guys don't have anything resembling of a good basketball team or player. So if you ever need Nikola Jokic info, I got you there too.
That's our guy, Josh Dover, joining us on the show today. I always love catching up with him. He does fantastic work for Denver Sports 104.3. We'll get back to football here coming up in a little bit. But Rob, we got some breaking news.
The Drive. First to breaking news in Kansas City.
Now, I want to preface this with I try to stay out of soccer business because I don't know much about it. Soccer doesn't bother me. I don't bother soccer. I'm cool with it that way. But Rob told me, hey, this is big news. So the MLS just tweeted, a new calendar for a global league. Beginning in 2027, Major League Soccer will adopt a summer to spring season format, an historic evolution in the league's competitive calendar. So they are going to start a league that starts in July. They take a little bit of a break in the middle of December and then come back in February and try to have the MLS Cup in May. Now, this sounds like quite possibly the worst idea for Major League Soccer. It sounds like quite possibly the worst idea for soccer in America. Now, I've read a little bit. I know what the argument's going to be. Well, that's what they do in Europe, but we ain't in Europe. Who has the idea of, well, we had a little bit of an exclusive window, but now we want to put almost all of our content either up against football or March Madness? Who thought of this idea? Who thought of this strategy? This is not a good strategy. They want you sitting out at Sporting Park in November and February and March to watch soccer? Good luck. I hope it works out for MLS. I really do. I hope that it works. We love Sporting on this show. You love Sporting. I love Sporting. They've been great to us. This is a bad idea.
I am so, like, confused as to what MLS is trying to do here. Like, I got the email press release. I get what they're trying to do. Hey, we're now going to have our schedule mirror Europe, so we can now, you know, not have to have two separate transfer windows, so that maximizes our ability to add players in. Now our calendar matches with the international play, so we're not stopping our season in the middle of our season to play the World Cup. Like, I understand the logic, but MLS is still a small and growing league. It is not the big boy in American sports. I think maybe one day it could become part of like the big five. You know, we're talking about pro sports, the big four, you know, NBA, NHL, baseball, football. I was hoping one day it could become the big five. Kind of like, you know, we talked about the group of five, the whole deal. But if you're playing games in the winter in America and you're playing games now up against football, really the entire time.
I mean, college football, professional football, and in October, baseball playoffs, baseball, like, I just,
you're
during
not
this period, everything is happening. Everything in sports is happening mm-hmm. between September and middle of December. I just don't know why, for a sport that I imagine, I don't know, but I'm guessing they're playing these games on the weekend. I just don't know why in Kansas City or around the rest of the country, your financial model is based on trying to take people Saturday and Sunday away from it. It doesn't sound like a good idea.
It is an objectively bad idea. Now, if this was an established known commodity and they were maybe not as popular as they are in Europe, but they were more popular in America than they are, I would kind of understand it. But this feels like you're setting a growing league up for failure. I also would tell you, it's not just you're up against football. You're going to be playing games in February. Carrington, this year, this calendar year, it was February of 2025. Do you know what happened at Sporting Park? Lionel Messi came to town. Maybe the greatest soccer player ever was in Kansas City playing his second match here. He played at Sporting Park, and it was like 9 degrees out. Do you know what there were a lot of? Open seats. So if you get Lionel Messi in Kansas City in February of 25, and no one's going the game, why do I think doing it in February of 28, February of 29, February of 30, you're going to see an uptick in fans? It feels like this works in Europe for all the reasons it works in Europe. But one of them is it doesn't get as cold in Europe as it does in America. You're telling me even in early March, you're playing a road game in Minneapolis at an outdoor stadium? That's a losing strategy. It just is.
I mean, it's also the biggest sport there, too. Like, it is people's favorite sport there. That's not the case in America. Someone says, can you recap what is happening? So the MLS, they are rearranging their schedule. Their season is now going to start in July. They're going to play from July all the way till the middle of December. They are going to then take a winter break. They're going to resume, I'm guessing, after the Super Bowl.
That would be my guess. Yeah,
is when they plan on resuming. Yeah. They'll then play from February all the way up until May. And then May is when their playoffs are going to be. This just doesn't sound like a good idea to me. This doesn't sound like a good strategy to me. But you know what? I try to stay out of soccer business. So, hey, if y'all got it, Y'all got it. I'm going to leave y'all be. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to be joined by James Palmer of a Bleacher Report. I asked him if he thinks the Broncos are as good as their record shows.
The point is, I would say they're in all of these games. You could make the argument, you know, adversely to what you said, and I agree with you. I mean, they've beaten two backup quarterbacks. You know what I mean? Four of their wins are against teams that are last place in their division of this. So, like, of course, there's ways to pick it. You could even say there was a leveraging call at the end of the Colts game, who many people believe the Colts are arguably the best team in the AFC. You can make an argument in some cases for that. They beat the Colts. There was a ridiculous leveraging call on the final field goal that won the Colts the game. And they were an insane play from Justin Herbert on a touchdown to Keenan Allen that was just unbelievable from beating the Chargers. They could be undefeated, Carrington. Like, they literally could. And we'd probably be having the same conversation. So it's been really interesting to watch them play. I think the defense is good enough to keep them in any game. I would say this, as I've talked to people around the league, this is the type of season, if you play good ball defensively, you run the ball well, you don't hurt yourself, you can be kind of a little bit of a sloppy team and advance through the postseason this year. It's just that type of year because the heavy hitters in the AFC are not what we've seen in years past.
Yeah, this goes along with the theme of what we've been talking about. There is a hierarchy that is being challenged right now in the AFC. Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo have dominated this conference for the last half decade. There was the one time that a team crashed it, and that was the Cincinnati Bengals. But for the most part, the AFC Championship game, it's Kansas City against Buffalo, it's Kansas City against Baltimore. That is how things have gone. You have a group of teams. You have three separate teams that are really looking to challenge that. You've got three teams in New England, Indianapolis, and Denver that feel like they are as good and can crash the party. And when injuries have kind of taken over in the AFC, some teams haven't developed the way that you thought, they haven't come together, those teams are looking to crash the party. How you do that is by winning these kinds of games. This Broncos-Chiefs game is going to be viewed by 30 million people. This is essentially a nationally televised game. Nance, Romo, Tracy Wolfson. America is going to be watching the Denver Broncos and watching them against a team and a brand that they know. They've been watching the Kansas City Chiefs now for 5-6 years. They know Kansas City's track record in these games. So if the Broncos can win this game, it goes a major way in just changing people's perception on if they can do it once the weather starts to get cold. It also is going to force Kansas City to, again, go on the road and try to win these games. I know they did it a couple of years ago, but you're going to have to prove it again in just some new venues and new places, potentially against some new teams. Coming up on the other side, let's ask this question. Let's say the Chiefs go back to the AFC Championship game because they always go to the AFC Championship game. Which one of those three teams do you think they're most likely to see? Do you think it's Indianapolis, Denver, or New England? We'll answer your question coming up on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure.
Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to be joined by James Palmer of Bleacher Report, friend of the show. He is a national reporter based in Denver. We'll get his thoughts on Chiefs and Broncos. So, Rob, if I tell you that I have a crystal ball, but, you know, it's a little hazy, it's a little incomplete, I tell you that the Chiefs are going back to the AFC Championship game. I mean, at this point, I mean, that's just, you have to assume that they will go there because they always go to the AFC Championship game. If I tell you that their opponent is one of these three teams, Denver, Indianapolis, or New England, which one of these teams do you think is most likely to find themselves in the AFC Championship game going up against the Kansas City Chiefs? Denver, Indianapolis, or New England?
I would say the New England Patriots. I think they have the best quarterback of those three, so that's always a great start in the postseason. And I think what they've done this year is the most impressive. Like, if you want to tell me that what the Broncos have done is smoke and mirrors, I kind of agree with you. It's a lot of one-score coin flip games. They're not supposed to go that way. The Patriots are taking care of business on the home, at home and on the road. They beat the Bucs last week. The Bucs are a legitimate contender in the NFC. And by the way, they took care of it was in Tampa Bay. They've beaten this year earlier in Buffalo. They took care of business on the road against the Buffalo Bills. Like, they have done their job every time they've been asked to. So I think they have the best quarterback. I think they have the best coach. And they have the, of the teams, putting the Chiefs aside, the second best point differential of those teams. They also have the easiest schedule, which means the games are in Foxborough. So I think of those three teams, I will take the New England Patriots.
You know what? I'm going to take the Colts. I'm going to take the Colts for this reason. I think the Colts are probably going to end up being the one seed. They're currently 8-2.
I apologize for interrupting. You look at that. Look at that Patriots schedule. The Patriots might not lose again this year. That's a legitimate. They might lose to Buffalo at home. They have 14-3 energy. Now, if you want to tell me it's fake 14-3, oh, that's fine. But 14-3 smells like a one seed team, no matter what.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm at the point with the New England Patriots that I think they win all the games that they're supposed to win. I mean, you're right. Looking at their schedule, you know, but you got a stretch there where you go on the road and play Cincinnati. I'm not the biggest fan of Cincinnati. I'm certainly not going to put it past the Patriots to go on the road and lose to a team like the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm looking at the game against Buffalo, also on the road against Baltimore. Seems like a potential spot that they could get tripped up at. I mean, Indianapolis' schedule, outside of on the road against Kansas City and on the road against Seattle, I could see this Colts team also being a team that goes 13-4, possibly 12-5 if that ends up being the case. So I think the Colts could end up being the one seed. I think they've gotten pretty consistent quarterback play. They have the best player this year in the National Football League. Their defense has been good. I think you could just see a scenario in which the Colts just host the AFC Championship game because the Colts had the best record in the regular season. I'm going to go with the Colts. I am coming around on the New England Patriots. They showed me a lot last week. If you go on the road and beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a legitimate contender in the NFC, you deserve a lot of credit. You also went on the road and beat Buffalo earlier this season. So I'm coming around on New England. I'm maybe not all in the way you appear to be with Drake May and the Patriots, but I am starting to believe in what the Patriots have done so far this season.
I am all in as them as the best of the new faces in the AFC. I also think, and I know that the hip new trend in football is to get a quarterback and pair him with the young offensive mind, and that's how you go coach quarterback. Mike Vrabel is by no metric a young offensive mind, but you know what he is? A really good football coach. He's had his team as the one seed in the AFC before, albeit it was the Titans, but Ryan Tannehill and the Titans were the one seed one year in the AFC. The year before that, Ryan Tannehill and the Titans were in the AFC title game. And now Mike Vrabel has a quarterback that I believe is better than Ryan Tannehill, and he's on a trend line to be the one seed in the AFC again. Like, Mike Vrabel is a tremendous football coach. Do I think he'll ever get a Super Bowl? I don't know, but I think coaching matters, and the fact that he's been through this a little bit matters to me, because Shane Steichen is a – I don't think he's, you know, some bumbling idiot, but I don't think he's as good as Mike Vrabel, so I take that advantage for the Patriots to be the one seed.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to be joined by James Palmer of Bleacher Report. Rob, what time do you think Colin Saunders is going to be back on the team? Because you and I called it with Mike Pinnell. I mean, that was the easiest prediction that we have ever possibly had. He was released. He was not subject to waivers. We all knew that as a free agent, he was coming back to Kansas City. Colin Saunders now finds himself in that exact same situation. Maybe this is why the Chiefs didn't want to trade a draft pick, why they didn't want to swap picks with Jacksonville. Hey, you guys don't plan. We think you're going to cut him. There's not a lot of money left on his deal. It's basically $500,000 left for the remainder of the season to go pick up Colin Saunders. We know the Chiefs have wanted to pick up another defensive lineman. I mean, this just feels like another one of those. This is a no-brainer type decision. A no-brainer type decision for the Chiefs to go pick up a defensive lineman that they know the system, that knows the system. They know him very well, and they know fits into the locker room. I'm just waiting for the tweet to come out that Colin Saunders is back in Kansas City about to work out, and the plan is that they are going to sign him to a free agent contract.
At this point, earlier today when I saw he got cut, I was Googling, you know, how the waiver system works exactly in the
NFL. I think
the
Chiefs are at 17th right now.
Yeah, but I can't imagine if you're one of the teams ahead of the Chiefs, like if you're the Saints. Pretty confident the Saints are ahead of the Chiefs.
Yeah, for sure.
Why are you picking up Colin Saunders? Like, it's not Terrell Suggs. I'm not comparing the talent to Saunders to Suggs. But it feels kind of Terrell Suggs-ish. There's no way Saunders got cut from the Jags to go sign up to play in November and December for some rum-dum team. Like, I can't imagine he's like, oh, thank God, I'm out of Jacksonville. I can't wait to be a Giant or a Jet. Like, that doesn't feel like the outcome. So I think waiver claims to be in today, and the news comes out tomorrow at noon. So at some point during Cody and Gold show, we get the alert that Colin Saunders is the Chief, because it feels so obvious. Position of need, player they like, and the Chiefs don't go outside their circle. They don't go outside their sphere of influence, and Colin Saunders is inside their sphere.
Yeah, I understand you weren't making the comparison. I'd be surprised. Like, if you remember whenever Terrell Suggs was available, like, there was a lot of teams that put in a claim for him. Like, this is a guy who had a pass rushing history that you could bring that guy into your locker room late in the season. If you were a contending team, there was absolutely no reason not to put in a waiver claim for Terrell Suggs. And then we just found out the Chiefs, because of the order, they ended up winning it. That's not what Colin Saunders is. This isn't a guy with any pass rush. So, like, if you're looking for a run stuffing defensive tackle, I mean, we're not talking about that level. And I also don't know if there's a lot of teams that feel like they need that. And if you're at 17, so a lot of the teams that maybe you'd be up against, you just have a better waiver claim because you've gotten off to a little bit of a slower start. I mean, you're going to get him before Buffalo. You'll get a chance to get him before New England. You'll get a chance to get him before all of these teams. For $500,000, don't even let him hit free agency. Just put in a waiver claim so you don't have to deal with it on the back end. We're not talking about any money in an NFL context. You don't even got to move stuff around with the salary cap. If you like Colin Saunders, just put in a claim. You don't got to deal with it.
I mean, it just – everything about it feels obvious. The only thing that I think stops this train from coming back to Kansas City is if for some reason one of these terrible teams tries to, you know, sign him – claim him, see if there's something left, and then maybe re-sign him in the offseason. Like, I don't know he'll actually be a Brown. I'm going to use the Browns as my example. If you're the Browns and you're already in rebuild mode, maybe you put a claim in just to see, oh, is this a guy we re-sign the offseason and can be part of our defense? But, man, the 16 teams that had the Chiefs, it just doesn't make any sense to me why they would want Colin Saunders. So I feel like he's a Chief in like 10 minutes.
Someone on the text line asked the question, why does he have to clear waivers because he's a veteran? That would be the case if he got cut before the trade deadline, kind of like Mike Pinnell. Mike Pinnell got cut before the deadline, so you don't have to go through waiver claims. Now that we are past the trade deadline, it goes through waiver claims. So you can cut a player right now, but just you have to go through the process. So that's why Colin Saunders is not an outright free agent, and it goes through that. So every team has the opportunity to put in a waiver claim for Colin Saunders. If he doesn't get claimed by a team, then he can be a free agent and negotiate with any team in the National Football League because we have passed the NFL trade deadline. So just wanted to clarify that if people were unaware of that's how it works once we get past the November 4th trade deadline. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by James Palmer of Bleacher Report. He lives in Denver, national reporter. We'll get his thoughts on Sunday's game. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief, yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at redeemhealthshare.org.